Ricky, quick. Need your help. How are you doing?
I'm good.
Good, yeah. Real good. I've got a lot of noise happening here. I've got a backup happening. I've got the router running at 20,000 RPMs. So you're going to hear some stuff. Chamfering. Lordy, what is this guy doing?
How many flutes? Just expecting a truck to come through the wall behind you.
Is that super loud?
No. It's atmospheric.
Can you hear it?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like a panel van? So it has to be end unloaded.
Oh, yeah.
With 4x8 sheets of plywood.
Yeah.
And he just backed into our single stall driveway. We can't get the forklift out that way. Anyway, silly. Oh, how's it going?
Yeah, good. How are you?
Pretty good. Feel like I kind of had your Japanese pencil problem this morning where I just kept jumping from one thing to another endlessly. Not finishing any of the tasks I wanted to, but, you know, that's how it goes.
What's your current flavor of task management?
None.
None? Just out the window. Scrapped all of it.
My sheet of day plan paper that's got a bunch of stuff on it that none of it's crossed off. This is from yesterday. So it's not working. Not working today.
My current flavor is still using the full focus planner, but bare minimum, like really just using it as a daily diary, which is good.
Right.
But I set my top three things either the night before or the morning of, or halfway through the day when I realize I haven't put anything down. Yeah, it's semi-effective. It's something I have lent on recently. It's the Reminders app on my phone.
That's pretty good.
So I've discovered this in the past, but I rediscovered that you can add as many lists within that as you want. So I have different themed lists.
Yeah.
Like, for instance, I have a podcast list, so I can be like, I won't say the bot's name because I'll trigger other people's bots, but I'll be like, hey, little guy on my phone, add Justin has a good haircut to the podcast list. And
needs a haircut.
Come Thursday morning, there's all these things sitting on the list. So that's handy. Right. Been using that a lot.
It would be nice to somehow, then I just start to think, like, how can I get that into the show notes?
I know.
Our little internal notes thing.
I did try to connect my phone through Zapier to Notion and other things, but it seems the iOS stuff's pretty locked down in terms of.
It is.
Automations.
You could, works with its own stuff. That may be changing, though, because it's getting sued by the government here pretty hard.
Really?
For monopolistic practices.
Never.
So they may have to open up some more of their practices.
Interesting.
Okay. Which I'm not against, necessarily. I mean, I want fair play, fair practices, but I do like it being closed down for the reasons of security and not messy garb. Like, I'm gonna anger some Android fans here. I was out shopping the other day with my wife, and she was looking at something, and so I was kind of daydreaming holding the baby, and I looked over and heard this woman's phone ringing, and it was an Android phone. And I watched this woman, at no fault to her own that I could tell, try to answer her phone, and it was like a game where she was swiping. It said swipe to answer, as I can see it pretty clearly. This giant phone. And she just kept swiping different ways, and stuff would, like, things would disappear. Like, she'd swipe something away, but it wouldn't answer the phone. And it eventually stopped, and she's, like, frantically, like, and I was like, what kind of mad hell is this? Like, I could never. That is ridiculous. So I don't want that to happen, basically.
That's an unlikely outcome.
Yeah. Yeah. I had a thought. It's gone.
Had a thought.
On automation things, I use Siri a lot. I love it. And it's been increasingly more helpful since having an infant where your hands are either busy holding it or they are covered in something that you do not want to touch other things with.
Yes.
And so that works a lot for, like, hey, text my wife. I need her help urgently. Or, one of the things we've been using, this little app to track the baby stuff for all the ins and outs of its inputs and outputs,
Ah, yes.
And sleep and all that kind of stuff. It's very helpful when you wake up in the middle of the night and your partner has fed it or something, and you don't know, you don't want to wake them up. So it's like, oh, an hour ago, it was, you know, he had a food, so it's fine. Anyway, that app now has Siri integration. So I can say like, hey, yeah, we'll bleep these, I guess. Hey, S-word. Like, and it'll log it into the app. I can name it whatever I want. So it could be like, because that's part of its little language, is it likes to categorize the ins and outs, the sizes and colors and all the fun stuff. This is good content, right? You're muted.
Thank you. Yes, I was just saying, I remember playing that game and tracking all those notes when they were little hackers. Nice.
Gonna get one again.
Oh, God.
Get on that tracking.
It's getting close. Yeah.
Or by the third, you just not track anything anymore.
I suspect like, so. Yeah.
Is it alive? Good. Good. Keep going.
I think that's right.
I mean, you kind of get that way with the first one anyway. You're like, yeah, I mean, I see breathing.
I think my biggest...
Got a lot of stuff here.
My biggest news, which I'm quite excited about, is I've got a bench again.
I don't know what that means. I saw that.
I've got a workbench? I've got a workbench. I haven't had a workbench for years to call my own.
Do you all claim them in your shop? Like there are certain persons?
We do.
Ooh.
And
did you put your name plaque on it again?
Okay. Scrub the little brass plaque. No, I've just claimed one in the reshuffle. And it feels really good.
That's fun.
Like to be a... Yeah. We've always run that model. Like I quite like the idea of no one having their own bench. And the station's kind of being more about process than people. But that's just never how we've run it. Everyone's always had a bit of a base. If you work in the workshop, you've got a home base and you've got your drawers and your tool trolley with your kit and your bench, and just how we've rolled. But I've claimed a bench again. And as a sort of as someone who's built a company that makes things, that just feels really positive, I must say.
Right.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I always, the contrast to that is, we've never had enough people that we've never like locked down a space or anything. We don't have the space actually for it, but we have a few more tables now to like assemble stuff on, and Ricky will usually be working on one of them. And I always feel like I want to not just take up a bunch of space. And sometimes I like have a project and I just leave stuff over a bench. And I'm like, wait, like this is for working, not like Justin has a bunch of collets to look at, you know? Because then the next person's like, I better not move this. And I'm always just like, please just move my stuff. Like, I just walk away and it's fine.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. I mean,
yeah. Bench.
I do really like the idea of dedicated setups, like having a downdraft table that is just the sand, where you go to sand stuff, or I don't know. It does make a lot of sense. Maybe we'll move to that. But,
yeah, it's a lot of moving stuff around, though, if you're, like, assembling stuff, and then now you got to go to the sanding station.
True,
you know?
True. Pros and cons. Yeah. You've mucked around with little downdraft things, haven't you?
We have, like, a very small, a portable one that we kind of came up with for ourselves and then sold a handful of, and, yeah, it's okay. It worked okay. We were doing more smaller part sanding, and that just kind of ends up being a mess because you can't like vacuum it at the same time, you know, like with a orbital or something like that. So it ended up being nice to have the downdraft there.
Yeah, nice. Yep. Cool. What have you been working on?
Today I was working on, have you ever gotten into aggregates at all for spindles? So like, it's kind of a weird name for it, but they're like, for me anyway, they're those like add-on tools that you can like machine like a 90-degree side of a door, or like,
yeah, I know what you mean. Yep.
Whole lot of different options out there. There's single, double, quad, angled. And so we had somebody ask about one of the ones that Technic sells, and so it's kind of how it happens. I end up like doing the research, figuring out how they work and pricing it, and then I'm kind of putting it on our website.
No, really.
Basically, I've done all that work. I'm gonna throw it on there.
Cool.
And we'll see if anybody else is interested. I think my biggest, I don't know. I kind of expect, like, this person also had a Shop Saver And so it, you know, I've always thought like, oh, that'd be fun, but they are like $5,000. Like, yeah, they're not cheap. That's like an entry price. I remember when I first was buying our router, there was a fancy one that was adjustable and they wouldn't tell me a price when I was shopping at the show. And I kind of Googled it to find out it was like $15,000. Yeah. And I was like, don't need that right now, but that's fun.
So what's the functionality of this one you've been researching?
It's primarily, so like these two options are a mono or a duo. So it's just one way or two way. So you could like machine each side of a part.
Okay.
90 degree options. Yeah. I think it would be most useful for people that are like, often door manufacturers use them quite a bit to like mortise in the door hardware. Furniture, you can actually, they have like a line of sanders, which is pretty cool. So you could like sand the side with an oscillating sander attached to it. They're pretty awesome that they're, I didn't realize this was a thing, but they have a modular head option. So instead of like just ER32, you can change it from ER32 to a saw with just kind of almost like cap dough, as far as I understand, where it's like a lock-in little mechanism.
Cool.
And then your aggregate that turns the spindle, you know, movement is always the same. So I don't know what the customer is interested in, but I've always thought they were cool, and so it's nice to be able to like offer them to people.
Yeah, I've looked at them in the past when I was in the lead machinist sort of position, and cutting holes in my table and doing kooky stuff. I remember looking at them, and both of our machines, our gantries are so much lower than your Shop Saver.
Right. Like
we've only got like 4 inches of clearance on one and I think 5 inches on the other. So none of those things that I looked at ever would ever even like clear. By the time you add the aggregate to the spindle, it's like, you're out of room.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I forget about that.
Mm.
They're roughly 180 mil from the gauge line to the bottom.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
you got to have decent amount of height there. But the biggest problem so far, and I've asked on the little group for Fusion, I don't know how to program it at all. Do you have any thought on how to program a thing that's 90 degrees? Some people are saying, oh, we've figured out how to do it with like, you know, custom posts. And yeah, it's an interesting, like, to be able to simulate it seems pretty important. So you're not crashing your $5,000 attachment into things.
Yeah, I don't know. Little post macro. My brain just goes to kind of macros or subroutines that are generated by the post, but certainly don't know how you'd program it to simulate it. Depends what you're trying to do, but yeah, interesting.
I also have no concept as to how you would tool change it. You'd have to like write your own little
manual
script, surely, or just throw it on yourself.
Yeah, surely it's a manual tool change.
Right.
Gotta be.
Makes me want to try to figure out how to like make it tool change stuff. Anyway, they're kind of fun.
Yeah,
cool. I love the idea of like, I'd love, you know, I always get into this dreamy world of like, same with the shrink stations that we resell through Technics, is I'm always like, well, maybe we get one so I can make some videos or marketing videos and also use it, you know, like there's really no reason we need a shrink station though. And we don't really need this either, but it's like, it just sounds fun to play with.
Yeah, totally. Nice. So it's cool. If you want to mash the software corner button, I have an anecdote.
What's new in software corner?
Very good. Your chat last week, I think it was on last week's recording, about telling GPT to stop yapping.
Yep.
I tried to make use of that. I had an entertaining episode where I was trying to write. I don't remember what the context of the email was, but I was trying to get some help drafting an email to a potential client, or maybe it was a job that I didn't want. Maybe that was it. I was just trying to sort of write a polite, no thanks, thanks but no thanks email.
Yep.
And I was rushing, and I just quickly like opened the prompt and like was put something in about respond to this email. But I put the stop yapping in sort of in the wrong context and then copy and pasted the email that I wanted it to respond to. And ChatGPT wrote this really passive aggressive like response telling the client to like shut up.
I do like that when it gets confused with what you want to, like, sometimes it'll be like, ask me questions.
Yeah.
before responding, and then it like mashes it up into like into what you're asking the question for the customer. And
yeah,
for a second I thought you're gonna say you mixed up who you were pasting this to and you told your client to stop yapping, which is kind of hilarious.
That's effectively what I would have done if I'd sent the suggested copy. Yeah,
it does do some pretty passive, like I've been trying to work on one a response that we could use for when packages go missing.
Mm.
And all it comes up with is pretty like pedantic answers of like, you should look around your porch, see if the package is there. It's like, you really think that they didn't look for the package? I kind of stumbled upon on that note on the, we were both kind of in awe of this, I think, that we didn't think of it, but there's been a forever problem for me of I have a bajillion GPT threads. Just kind of, I'm always starting a new one because it's always a different thought of how do I, you know, do this thing or that thing. And I realized that the URLs at the top were unique.
Mm.
And when you're logged in, you can just jump right to the same thread again. So like, I had lost like my PDXCNC agent that I had created that was very specific to that. And I had to scroll back through like hundreds of threads. And I messaged you and it's like, I just realized I can make a little index and just keep those links somewhere else and not have this problem, you know, like even in my bookmarks bar or something. Yeah. Like, oh, go to the agent thread. And finally kept a few of those that I really had wanted and kind of had lost over time. So,
yeah, this
stupid kind of little thing, but obvious.
So silly, but kind of blew my mind of like, of course, yes. Because I have the same chronic problem of not being able to find a conversation that I want to revisit. And due to the lack of search functionality, come on, OpenAI, it can be quite hard to find them. And I think we both do the same thing where we put a little emoji against the important conversations that we want to find again.
So you can scroll faster.
It's like look for the emojis.
Super old school.
Yeah, yeah. Where's the blue box? The blue box means something. Oh, yeah. Hold on. Cool. That's the one.
I mean, from the beginning, Google's whatever the hell they call it now, Gemini, has had a star function. So you can star threads. And I'm always just like, well, why can't we? That's like, sure, let's do that. Sounds great.
I haven't played with Gemini at all. Any good?
I haven't either. Mm. I was kind of scared away by their, I don't know why, it just felt ominous. I'm sure OpenAI is just as bad, where it was like, these could end up being public someday. And I was like, wait, how? What? There was some like disclaimer at one point where it's like, employees can definitely see this. And also, you know, this may end up, basically it sounded like you could end up being in like a search result what you put into it. And I was just like, I don't need to worry about that. So I just stopped using it and I don't let it use any of my data to search from, which would be super cool if it could use all of my Google Drive information and my emails and not share it.
I'm sure it's trading on all that stuff anyway, right?
Right. Maybe it's changed. I have noticed a lot more activity on our website traffic, different website information. It feels like there's a lot of training happening.
Yeah.
And I've heard about that a lot, how all these different companies are just sending out crawlers to ingest as much as they can constantly.
Speaking of bots, that reminds me, end of last week, because in the reshuffle, my phone number is now going to become the primary business number again, which is a bit daunting, but it's now my mobile again, back as the primary. And I had this funny call on Friday when I was just with the kids in a park, and I got this number. It was like, I could tell I was on speakerphone straight away with a couple of people, and she was like, I'm just looking for my phone, and find my phone app tells me that's at your work. I'm like, hang on, what stop? Who am I talking to? It's kind of stopped and introduced ourselves, and I was like, okay, so your phone is at our work. Have you ever been to our workshop? And they're like, nah, but we had a really big night last night, and I put my friend in a cab at 1 a.m. and now we can't find her phone, and it says it's at your place. Like, what is going on? Is this some like weird scam or like iCloud credential failure? And then when she mentioned the cab, I was like, okay, like our neighbors are a cab depot. It's like, your phone is probably in a taxi. Next door. Go next door. Call them.
I was gonna say, like, do you know you're in Castlemaine having a big night? Like, yeah. It doesn't seem like, feels like you might be in Melbourne.
Anyway, so problem solved, but it was entertaining.
All right.
I'm sure I'll get more of that. Probably not as fun, though. Random phone calls.
That's great. Yeah.
Yeah.
I came up with a weird little... Something I've been wanting to do for a long time, and it's by no means finished, but it was not too hard to create a kind of like a couple different databases, I guess I'd call them, or just sheet, you know, Airtable forms, mm-hmm. input fields, and then also like a text-based HTML version of a compatibility list for the Dust Boots on our help desk.
Nice.
And it was always just kind of silly. I never took it further because none of them were up to date in any way. There was like little bits all over the place and it kind of had grown and I never taken the time to like compile it. I think part of it was just the tricky of like, well, sometimes the Dust Boot works with a spindle or it works with a machine or it works with both.
Yeah.
And I didn't know how to present that necessarily. And I finally came up with a little formula through an Airtable so that you can kind of do any of that and say whether it's compatible or depends and then have details about it and put images. And so I'm slowly working on replacing that, but it's now on that article and I can like quickly add to it. And like I asked you for some images of your machine at some point here that I can throw in. So I think that'll help with some kind of assurances of people that are like, what do you mean it works with my machine? And so they can actually see that combination.
Do you need beauty shots or just nice quick phone photos?
Phone's plenty good.
Yeah, cool.
Just something that shows what it looks like and how it could work.
Yeah, yeah, nice. Can do.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool.
Nice.
Yeah. It's kind of, I guess that I had very positive feelings about how easy that was to do once I figured it out in Airtable. Mm-hmm. And like, it's so nice to just have... I have a back end side of it where I can have more information.
Yeah.
And then if I just make one view that I like, that's like sexier, like more cleaned up with kind of a better presentation. It's so nice to just like embed that into this article. And now there's images and you can search it and filter it. And it's like such a nice little tool, even though it hasn't really changed much in a long time, but it's like kind of been good for a long time.
Yeah, I had the same thought last night. Actually, I was tinkering away. I was chatting to a client and I just quickly spun up a client-facing view of our like job list. I was like, hey, here's a shareable link. These are the jobs of yours in our system. Cleaned up which views I wanted to give them access to and sent them a link. It's like, you can see, the three tasks that you've currently got in our production, where they're at. You can see our internal notes on them. And it's like, awesome. Such, simple power in that stuff. I love it.
Right, for sure.
Mm.
I'm using it, for our course setup, too. I've kind of got it linked.
Yeah, cool. Where's that
working at? On a product page. It's not public yet, I don't think, maybe. I think it is. But I'm working on kind of building it out right now, today. To this last few days. But I changed, the button out for add to cart on our shop because I like I'm trying to put all of our courses into our e-commerce shop as well, even though that's not like where you would. It's kind of more for marketing, and so like people come to that page and they'll search right for like course, class, training, and like when nothing comes up it's confusing. So I'm just making, I wouldn't say dummy products, but like the products can't be bought there. Okay. They end up linking out to something else, but it's kind of like holistic to me in a certain way. Which kind of nice. Ends up being an Airtable thing.
Yeah, sweet. Yeah, looking forward to seeing what you present in terms of that idea.
Like those graphics from the other day?
The unicorn.
They're pretty good.
They're amazing.
Yeah, the tease as of right now, it's not finished yet, but I was trying to think of a good name because like what it was coming out to be was like... become a Fusion and CNC router machinist training. And it was like, well, that's ridiculous. That's not a good name. And I was like, well, what would you call that? And the name kept hitting me of being a unicorn, like being something that doesn't exist often, or is rare. And it's used in tech a lot for like software where you can do a couple types of coding, I think, often. And I was like, well, it's kind of our vibe is from the beginning, we've always, and I'm planning to teach this class in the idea that like you're going to learn how to do programming and operating, which is not super common, becoming more common, I think. But, you know, if you're often you have an operator, they don't do all of it. So calling it the, let me find it. I miss it again.
Johnny, you're a unicorn. It's official.
I can't find anything. What the hell is going on? Website's breaking.
Uh-oh.
CNC router unicorn training was my short name of it. And made some pretty good images for that, I'd have to say.
Yeah, they're fantastic.
Maybe some of the best I've ever had AI make. Like, fantastic. Yeah. That's been kind of melting my brain a little bit. It's definitely not something I'm good at. You saw it.
Yes, take it.
Love it. The fact that it looks
not something
like
I'm good at.
The screen looks like it's got Visual Studio Code with like G-code formatting like
it does.
On it even. Like it's that good.
It was a very, very simple prompt, which is crazy. Mm. Like very simple. And it every time it was just like killing it. It was like such a good output. And it's like, well, I didn't expect it to be this good. And now I think I got
to
use
you
it.
You have to use it. It's fantastic.
Right. But just compiling the course, it's like I've probably sick of hearing me talk about this, or
no.
My friends and wife and Ricky are probably too, but it's like I feel like I've had this idea for a long time. I have this giant list of thoughts about how to make a good, you know, what should be in this kind of class, this in-person training to learn Fusion Cam and CNC router operation and tips and tricks and all the kind of things that I think we try to share, but I want to put it into one class that you kind of do a crash course over a couple of days to learn. And I've just never really been good at like compiling and synthesizing those kind of things. So it's just really, I've been struggling to finish it up. Like I don't have any concerns about teaching it.
Yeah.
Like I think I can talk for 2 days easy about this stuff. It's just the like refining it to get it into something that like I can share. And so soon, hopefully, definitely by the first week of April, we'll have that out. I'm trying to get it done this week to be available, but the first session will be happening in April.
Nice.
Unless nobody wants to do it, and then we'll do it the next month.
Awesome. Super cool.
Right.
I had a curiosity for you. I don't know how realistic this is that it's actually going to happen, but If the TikTok ban goes through, would you miss it?
Right. Oh, yeah.
Interesting.
Definitely. I find it to be, just personally, I spend way too much time on it, but I find it to be very salacious. That sounds the right word. Very delicious to just consume.
Yeah.
I love it.
There you go.
For non-planned content, like if I don't want to sit down and like watch YouTube videos, it's like I just want to mindlessly look at some stuff. How about you?
I haven't had it on my phone for about 9 months and I haven't missed it at all. I've already banned myself. I have replaced it with shorts, probably, in terms of that kind of mindless, unwork related content. Like there comes a time of the evening where I'm like, okay, now I really want to clock off thinking about work. I'll get out of Instagram if I'm there and I'll open the YouTube app and like vegetate for a little while.
Right.
So similar
same,
sort of content,
same thing.
But yeah.
Right. I mean, there's always bias in these kind of things. I mean, TikTok is the thing that generated this medium. It's still, to my experience and belief, nothing matches its ability to master that medium, the short content that's vertical, the tools that it has. I don't understand why other people aren't using these same things of like the stitching where you can like take somebody's other video and reply to it.
Yeah.
Like I want that everywhere. I want to reply to other people's videos on iMessages that way.
Yeah.
So you can like remind them of what you're talking about. It's absolutely brilliant. And the thing that I think it does better than, and I've never seen anything else do this before. You can watch a video about a car crash and it's funny, or it's something, you know, it's something interesting. You've watched a decent amount. You've told the algorithm you like it. 2 days later, there will be another post about that that you will see. And it's like very definitively going to show it to you again. And there's no plan to it. I didn't subscribe. I may not have liked it. Like, it's just amazing at showing you something you don't even know you want to see again later.
Yeah.
All the time. And it's just
super powerful,
mind-bogglingly good at that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, they've really nailed that element of it.
Right. Yeah, it could very well happen.
Interesting. Yeah. Yeah, it's just curious. Because I don't miss it at all, but...
Yeah. I kind of just try and tune out that chaos Congress situation we have going on all the time here, where it's just like, let's talk about something important. We're talking about a social media platform that's about dancing and car crashes. You know, it's like, could we solve our healthcare problem, please? Yeah. Or like... homelessness or any of this, you know, important stuff. But yeah, anyway, yeah, should we do this?
And now it's profit time.
Yeah
I fixed the audio levels this time.
Yeah,
you got some items here.
Profit first, I've got a few curiosities that I'm interested to explore with you. The main one being the TAP percentages, so the target allocation percentages. Quickly sort of in all my dabbling, I looked at where we're at, and because of how dramatic the change has been at Butter in terms of the restructure, the redundancies, the sort of really shrinking and of expenses, the percentages of where things were at pretty much immediately became irrelevant. It was like that's just gone out the door as quickly as possible in terms of dropping those expenses, and it wasn't at a healthy point at all. And so I pretty much jumped immediately to the target percentages that I came up with. I went straight to allocating to those target percentages, which in the book he talks about, you know, increasing those from current to target, like 1% a month or a quarter, like quite slowly transitioning
right
towards the target percentages. And whereas I just kind of went, oh, that's what it needs to be, let's just go for that. And it doesn't mean I'll hit them.
Yeah.
Like, I can already tell that my OPEX account is probably growing too quickly relative to like my materials account. So that's feeling that I've never got enough in my materials account at the moment. So I don't know. I was interested in where your head went with that stuff in terms of those allocations.
I'm still feeling like... it kind of ties into my other comment, I think, but I don't feel like I'm anywhere near, I feel like I'm the 1% adjustment scenario, most likely for a year at least.
Interesting.
If I can keep myself to that.
Yeah.
But I mean, I feel like there's been good movement. I've changed some practices. We've severely cut the unnecessary weird spending of, oh, let's get another one of these, you know, 5 more knives for this kind of thing. It's just like, it's changed my thinking. I was talking to a friend about it. I was like, I think it's definitely made me immediately start to think like a frugal buyer of stuff. Like, we talked about this, can I slow down my spending? Can I buy it some other time? So that's really been working well. But ultimately, I think I need to split out more accounts still, because like my OPEX account is a huge percentage of the ratio, and a lot of money moves in and out of that fast. So I don't have materials, I don't have payroll split out. So I think those two things might make sense.
Yeah.
Also loan payment. So there's a lot of stuff, leases, all that happens through there. So right now it feels like it's like a 90% portion of everything coming in, specifically because I didn't have a great cash flow situation to start with. It was like, this happened at a time when I was like, all right, well, we need to change some stuff. This isn't feeling good. So it was good. We both kind of weirdly had the right timing to be working on this together. Glad we planned that.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's a weird answer. I don't feel like I'm anywhere near target percentages, and they seem ridiculous right now.
They seem ridiculous. Interesting.
I wish they would seem realistic.
You've come up with target percentages?
No.
Okay.
I don't think I have good it's, you know, I'm kind of going off of what he suggests in the book for a lot of it, but they don't seem realistic right now.
So what's guiding your distributions right as of now?
Trying to drive up owner pay, up profit, lower OPEX. It's so kind of like
you're doing the
those driving
thing.
Forces.
Yeah, cool.
It's probably smart. I need to, like, now that I've kind of tackled most of my accounting chaos that was a whole pandemic behind, basically, I think it would be smart. I've been using the, you know, income statements have been super helpful. Like, I've been tracking that, like, kind of daily, like, all right, we're ahead, you know, like, we're keeping things in the right. And that helps me to think about spending, I think, a lot more than there's money sitting there. Can I spend, you know, I can spend it because it's just, you know, it's such a naive thing how I used to do all of it. So,
Cool. Okay. Nice.
But he has that whole like spreadsheet to figure out TAP, right? Like the assessment. So I need to jump back into that and look at those numbers again now that I have real numbers to play with. I think part of it too is honestly, I just haven't cut enough cost out of places that shouldn't. You know, that's part of why the OPEX feels so out of line is there's still too much overhead related to revenue, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, I'm, you know, trying to increase revenue, but also I've been quoting more jobs and stuff, trying to kind of keep things flowing in a nice way. But those two things have to change. And it's been happening slowly.
Yeah. Cool.
Which is nice.
Yeah.
It's interesting. So you feel like you're already... I mean, I guess the question then is they obviously aren't your target percentages.
Well, yeah. I'm so burnt by the unrealistic target factor at the moment.
Like, sure.
That I don't want to drive them any higher than they are in terms of profit allocation. Like, I'm desperate to just sort of stabilize and make this base model work and like...
Yes.
Yes, the percentages will adjust as I sort of discover things as I move forward. Like at the moment, as I said, I'm sort of discovering that our materials account is running a bit lean, seemingly. And I think I should probably just be paying payroll as a fixed amount into the payroll account, not a percentage, because, you know, that's a pretty fixed expense now that I need to ensure that I have every fortnight. So, yeah, there's adjustments that I'll make along the way, absolutely, in terms of those percentages. But, like, the profit, I've just set at 10%, and I've, you know, that would be fantastic if I could hit that because it's, you know, we were minus whatever percent previously. So, it would be a huge increase to hit 10%. That'd be fantastic. And at this stage, that's all I'm interested in just stabilizing.
No, yeah, same.
Getting to that point. So, yeah. I
think that's a key point that I'm also... It's completely untread ground for me. Is I've had cash balances before after big jobs, series of good jobs, you know. What's so different about this is it never got split right away. It never got divided and kept that way. It was always just like that big number goes up and down and without any like, you know, forethought, I guess. Like there was budgeting, but it was like, it just never felt like there was control. So it feels like there's control, but also what's amazing to think about is I need to build up these accounts to a certain amount. So it's not just like what this month is or next month. It's like, I need to figure out what the, like in personal finance, we go by the 6 month rule of emergency cash to have, right? Like, and it's definitely a privilege, but I mean, we're 15 years into marriage. Like, I'm glad that we are at that place finally where we can plan some of that. But like, he has that recommendation of like, if you're doing these certain allocations, a certain percentage in this thing, you should have this much cash on hand in case you get one or more revenue. And that sounds amazing. I'm shooting for that. But right now it's like, I just am trying to build those accounts up.
Same.
without trying to siphon off money for myself or the business or for profit. Like I've split some, but it's not anywhere near the 50% owner pay. Like that just would not work at all for us right now.
Yeah.
Do you have those kind of numbers? Like you did a lot more spreadsheeting of like where you want to get balance wise for each account before you. That's kind of what I'm thinking is like, I want to get to a certain place with the balances before I start to really shoot for the target numbers.
Yeah, interesting. I'm just shooting straight for the target numbers, but I feel like I'm too early in the process to tell whether that's going to work. Like I haven't even had a full month of outgoings.
No, right. Yeah.
So yeah, remains to be seen.
I think I'm a day from it.
Sorry?
I think I'm a day from when I first started.
Are you? Yeah.
At least writing a bunch of notes about proffers. So yeah.
Yeah. I think, and the other thing that I haven't done, which I'm aware, is I haven't done the kind of hidden bank account thing. Like I haven't made the hidden tax account or the hidden profit account. And that's partly because, like, yeah, again, personally, Laura and I have run this sort of system in our personal finances forever. And we're quite good, I feel, at just ignoring the accounts that we need to ignore, like the safety accounts. I don't feel like I need to hide them from myself. But also, I'm aware that, you know, anything in the profit account pretty much for the next few years is going to go get sucked straight out and to pay down various debts that we've accumulated. So it's kind of fun to accumulate it in the so-called profit account, but ultimately that's debt reduction for a while. So I'm not in a hurry to sort of hide that away or stash it from myself or my awareness. So
I'd say that's one of the best feelings. And I think it's so key early on in the book that you actually do that and find some account, rename it profit, start to put 1% in it. It's like checking a task list, right? Like starting with your first list that you've already, item that you've already done almost. It like starts that almost like adrenaline or the endorphin rush of like, there's money in that account now. And I'm not accounting for it otherwise. You know, it's like, it feels like you've tricked yourself, but like every time now that money gets diverted and I see those account numbers, I'm like, holy crap, those numbers are getting, you know, they're still very small, but it's like, that's amazing. Like I'm not using that money anymore. It's only for those things.
Yep.
Which feels really good.
Sure does. It is. Cool.
In trying to kill some bills and some costs, one of the things that's definitely higher on my list of electives, I guess I would call it to some degree, is my phone bill. I've had that as my personal phone has been expensed for years because I use it a lot for work. And I had always thought like, well, I don't know, everything I look at otherwise is kind of the same price. You know, it's basically $120 a month, which seems like a lot of money to me. And I know that American phone plans are always more expensive compared to like European and stuff like that. So I know we have weirdly high phone bills, but that includes like a $20. They do this like split the payment of your phone into the phone bill thing.
Yeah.
Basically like a long-term loan situation.
Same, yeah.
For free. Anyway,
you gotta stop buying the Obsidian iPhones, Justin. Jeez.
Yeah. Right.
All that Obsidian.
I thought that was high, and I saw a TikTok where some dad was like, it's last night. Some dad was like, so Verizon, another one of the carriers here, just emailed me and said, we're raising each of your lines to $7 a month. And he had like his bill behind him and like green screen. And he's like, that means it's now $234 a month for three lines. And I cannot do that. I don't understand why it went up, but I'm done. Yep. I'm done with Verizon. What are you guys using? And so like all the comments for like all these different options, whether people hated or loved certain things. And up at the top with high comments was people's talking about Mint Mobile, which is Ryan Reynolds's company. I think it's probably just America. But Ryan Reynolds, the actor, bought some network reseller system. I don't know what it was before, but I kind of always scoffed at these things. I'm just like, I don't know. I don't want to deal with some lower carrier that kind of has weird terms I don't even know. They just feel goofy. But I went and looked at it because I was like, well, I'm looking, you know, I'm being a frugal buyer here, trying to figure out what these things are. And I'm already on T-Mobile. They use the T-Mobile network. They have unlimited data, which is what I use. And it's $30 a month. And so I think I'm switching to that.
Great.
Like, I don't know. I have to pay off my phone, which halfway through, I guess. It's like a third of the price of what I'm paying now. Like, doesn't that seem ridiculous?
I get it.
That's even an option, I guess.
Yeah, wild. Cool.
Yeah, just sharing.
These are the little things.
Anybody else think that's useful?
Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I don't seem to be losing a whole lot. There's like a couple features. I won't get free Wi-Fi on airline flights anymore, but I fly like twice a year, so.
You need that time Wi-Fi free anyway.
Right, yeah. We need that airtime.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
It's a big cut.
Yeah, huge. Get on it.
Yeah. Yep.
Cool, man. Well, I got people rolling in, so I might tootle off and.
Right. Right.
Do some things.
Right, right.
Things and stuff.
Sounds good. Things and stuff. I got plenty of things and stuff to do.
Things and stuff. You got to tick some boxes on your list, man.
I know. That list is stupid right now.
Let's go tick some boxes. Actually, I got to take my kids to the end of term Festivus this morning. So
I'll have about you got to take them to Festivus.
5 minutes of work before I do that.
Festivus!
On deck, baby!
And that's the outro.
See ya.
Bye.